So you're probably wondering, you've seen that car before somewhere, as it goes on the screen behind you. Or you've seen something like this car before. If you're a Facebook user, this car was available for sale this week, being sold by Paul and Tanya. Though it looks like a similar sort of model, but it just looks just a little bit different. Now, there's a very lucky driver who has gone off with Paul and Tanya's little lovely blue Lupo. Now, when Paul left his job, he had to give up a really good Volkswagen Passat. It was a really good car. And as you'll find out a bit later, Paul used to love washing this car. He almost had an obsession with washing it every week in life. And he had to give it up when he lost his job. And so my image is of Paul and Tanya driving around this lovely wee Lupo. And now, Paul's a tall guy. And so I can just picture him, and I heard that one of the Link churches, a church in Londonderry, and I can just picture Paul driving this wee Lupo with Tanya beside him up the Glen Sheehan Pass, praying, interceding that this wee car will get them over the Glen Sheehan Pass into Londonderry and back down again. And I know next to nothing about cars. I don't know. I just know how to turn them on and to drive them. That's all. But for a car to move, it needs a good engine, and it needs a lot of petrol. And we're going to look at a book tonight for just a few moments, Ephesians chapter 3. And this church had a good engine. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, you could see that this church knew a lot about doctrine. That means biblical truth. They knew about the grace of God. They knew about the redemption of God. They knew about their salvation. And so if you look at the first three chapters, they had a good engine. But they needed to turn on the power. And Paul and Tanya, because you're in Christ, because you've been saved, because you're going to the mission field, Christ is in your heart and you have a good engine. But you need spiritual power. That Lupo to get over the Glen Sheehan Pass needed you to stop off perhaps at Tesco's in West Bangor to collect your points and to fill it with petrol. And you know, for you as you go to Uganda, and for every Christian in this room, not only do you need Christ in your heart, but you need to be constantly filled with His Spirit. And if you look at the book of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and chapters 4, 5, and 6, the first three chapters are about the doctrine, and the last three chapters are about how to put that into practice, how to put your faith into feet to go and serve the world, just like the CMS banner is word and deed. How are you going to make your word your deed? And then we get to this wee nugget. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. How are you going to put feet on your faith? So if you'll turn with me, let's read it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's the author of Ephesians. He's writing in a prison, perhaps chained to a Roman guard. And he loves the church at Ephesus. And he says this in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So the question is this. How are you going to fill up in Uganda? How is every Christian in here going to fill up in the spiritual lives? And this is the point. Three ways to fuel your spiritual power in your life. You see, for some of us who drive cars, we have a temptation, perhaps at night time especially, when you're driving home late, you think, oh, well, I'll just drive on the light and see how far I can get. Now, I'm sure nobody out here has done that. You think, well, if I just park this, maybe there's enough to get the other person in my home to get to the petrol station in the morning on their way to work. Now, that might be a famous last move. But you know, spiritually, each Christian here, and Paul and Tanya, we have a temptation in our Christian lives to live and serve on the light. Gradually we run down, gradually we're not praying, gradually we're not in the spiritual disciplines of reading the word and prayer and seeking out God and searching out God, and you will have a temptation to live on the light. Paul is saying to us that we need to fuel up spiritually. Even in the stuff that we were talking about in the commissioning, we talked about his enabling power by God's strength. And so Paul is trying to communicate this to this church in Ephesus. And the first point is this: spiritual power is cultivated in a praying heart. Firstly, verses 14 and 15, spiritual power is cultivated in a praying heart. And look at verse 14 of the text. It says, for this reason. And you might say, well, why does Paul say this? What is this reason? You see, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, for this reason. And then suddenly Paul gets lost and caught up in the amazing mystery that God would choose to use him, a chief of sinners, one of the worst sinners in the world, to be a minister of the gospel, to serve Jesus, just like Paul and Tanya. And he gets caught up in this, and then he gets back to the point that he was talking about in chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason. But what's the reason? In the church in Ephesus, there was a problem. There were Jews and the Gentiles, and they hated each other. In fact, the Jew wouldn't even touch the Gentile, or else that he was said to be ceremonially unclean. But then something happened 2,000 years ago where Jesus Christ came into the world and he died on a cross, and in that moment he shattered every social and ethnic barrier the world will ever know. And now suddenly, because Christ had come, suddenly there's a brand new society where Jew and Greek, where slave and free man, where male and female could sit down in a church like tonight and all be equal and worship the one true God and go out to serve the world. And that's what Paul and Tanya are doing. They've been transformed from the inside out. And because of what Christ has done, because of his reconciling power, suddenly they want to go and show the world in word and deed what Christ has done. But Paul knew for this to happen, for a Jew and a Gentile, for Paul and Tanya to go out and serve him, for this to happen, they need God's strength. They need God's power. And so what does Paul do? What's the first step? What's the first step that Paul and Tanya should do is to get on your knees. Says Paul, the great apostle, says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He's Paul's father. He's every Christian's father. He's the maker of each person on this earth. He has made each one of us, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian tonight, in his image. He's from whom the whole family, look at verse 15, in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I love this word. It can actually, the word father here, Paul's on his knees. He's praying and interceding in a prison for the church in Ephesus. He's saying, God, oh, would you give them power? Would you give them strength? Would you help them? Would you fuel their spiritual lives? And he's on his knees in prayer. And you know, Paul and Tanya, when you go out to Uganda, when you touch down there, maybe on Thursday, when you go there, you can go into your room with all the pain and the struggle and the hardship of leaving all this life behind you. You can get on your knees and you can lift up your hands and pray to your Father. And because he's your Father, he knows exactly what you need. In fact, because he's your Father, he's a God that's already there. The Bible says he's an omnipresent God, meaning that he's a God who's everywhere. He's not just in Bangor or Londonderry or Castle Dergal, though it's pretty cold there. And he's in Uganda. And he knows exactly what you need. And he's there already, preparing the way. And he's asking us all, and he's asking Paul and Tanya to get on our knees. Secondly, spiritual power, verses 16 to 19. Secondly, spiritual power is ignited by Christ's indwelling love. Spiritual power is ignited by Christ's indwelling love. Look at verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power in your inner being. You say, is this God powerful? Perhaps you're not a Christian tonight and you say, does the whole Bible declare this great God is powerful? Who is this God? Explain to me who this God is. Job 36 verse 22 says, behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Perhaps some of you who come to church tonight from another church and you're in another church, whether it's struggles and tribulations and stresses, or maybe in your family life tonight you've got a struggle. Maybe you're struggling with Paul and Tanya leaving if you're one of the family members. And Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 says this, "He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength." And it's this same power, as Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 says this. Paul, in his own testimony, just a few verses earlier, says, "All this gospel, Ephesians 3, verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. And how was it given to you? Which was given to me by his power." Don't we have a powerful God tonight? Don't we have a powerful God that can take an engineer and a degree in art and go and send them to Uganda? Don't we have a powerful God? He says it's to be in your inner being. You see, we all have a temptation not to have this power in our inner being. Perhaps we have a temptation to come to church, and as 2 Timothy 3 verse 5 says, having the appearance of godliness, wearing a nice suit and tie, you have it on the outside, but inside you deny its power. And if you're a Christian tonight, as I challenge myself and I challenge you and I challenge Paul and Tanya, don't have an appearance of godliness and deny its power. Oh, that God would move Paul and Tanya, that he would move us as a church to have that power in our inner being. Not just on the outside, but from our very core. Some of you say, "But Johnny, I feel fragile. I feel fragile about Paul and Tanya leaving. Paul and Tanya feel fragile about going to Uganda. You feel fragile being in this church or other churches." Actually, weakness is part of God's plan. Paul, this very apostle, if you search the New Testament, time after time, he talks about being weak. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Hear that? My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul also talked about other times. He said, "I feel like a clay pot or a clay jar, and it's easily thrown away and it's easily broken. And I feel like this, but I realize then when a crack opens up, suddenly the power of the gospel can shine through to a watching world." If you're struggling tonight, the power of the gospel can shine through you to your coworkers. They say, "How can they handle that situation? It's so down, and I could never do that." Yet they keep on continuing their situation in their family or in their church or going to Uganda. How can they do that? They're weak and they're struggling. But the power of the gospel shines through because of the ignition of Christ's love in our hearts, in the very engine room of our hearts. Paul and Tanya, I can assure you, there'll be times when you want to give up. There'll be times of immense frustration. There'll be times when you're ready to pack it in. But God says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Paul also said, "I'd rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ would be made manifest." So when you feel weak in Uganda next week, pray that God would fill you with his power. Because that's part of his plan. In fact, almost as you read the New Testament, it's almost as if Paul, in a sense, looks forward to the times when he's going to be weak because he knows that that's the time when God steps in. Not only in your life, but your life as a Christian, our lives as a church, the churches that you come from, it's in weakness that the power of Christ is made manifest. Look at verse 17. Paul goes on, it's like a staircase of emotion with Christ and with God himself. Verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." These two words, rooted and grounded. Paul and Tanya are the Christian here tonight. How can I be this Christian with the igniting power of God in my heart? How can I go to Uganda? How can I go back to my church tonight? How can I go into my job this week or my family? How can I do it? Because of the Word of God. Because of the Spirit-inspired word, because of the revelation of Jesus Christ and his life and his death, because of the filling power of the Spirit, and we can find that in his word. When you go to Uganda and you say, "How can I get the spiritual power in my life?" Turn to God's word time after time. Practice the spiritual disciplines. Open the word together as a couple and say, "God, speak to us by the power of your Spirit. Speak to me in my situation. Help us. We need your help." And open the word. Psalm chapter 1, I love it, where the psalmist in verse 1, he says, you know, I don't want to stand in this with scoffers. I don't want to sit with sinners. And then he says, but my delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it I meditate. He doesn't just say, I take it to church with me on a Sunday, and then I leave it in the car, and then I pick it up next Sunday. He says, but my delight is in the law of the Lord, and I meditate on it day and night. And then his life, he'd be like streams of water constantly flowing into his life, and his leaves and his wouldn't wither. He wouldn't die because he was connected to a source of God and a river of life that flowed underneath him. And I would urge you, when you go to Uganda, and I would urge you as a Christian tonight, get into God's Word. It's our source of spiritual nourishment and strength. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And this is such a missionary-minded verse. When you think of the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love. Ugandans, Egyptians, Chinese, even Northern Irish, even those who've come to the mainland from England. How wide is the love of Christ? A Jew and a Gentile to sit in a church together. To go into eternity past and choose us before the foundation of the world. To redeem us to himself. To shatter these social boundaries. That is how amazing the love of Christ is. It's really incomprehensible. Paul and Tanya, you will for the next period of your life, you'll give up close proximity to friends and family, to this church. I'd advise you to get a good Skype account, although I'm preaching to the converted with Paul, who's probably got some amazing Skype 2020 or something, pre-release. But I want to share with you two verses especially that I think that will at times just speak into your situation. Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, then listen to these words, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I've been many times to airports where I've been separate from friends and family and know that the choking pain in your throat when you say goodbye to them. And often I think of the verse, you know, that those who haven't, you know, left houses and families and but for the Christ and for his love. But I want to assure you that nothing can separate you from the love of God. You might be separate from friends and families and houses and cars and your life here in Bangor, but nothing can separate you from the love of God. Paul talks about this love if you look at verse 19 of Ephesians 3. And to know the love of Christ. And then look at this oxymoron. And to know the love of Christ, it surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God, and you're trying to work this out. To know God's love, to experience God's love, but it surpasses knowledge because it's so amazing and so divine. And at the end of verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is why you must keep putting petrol in the car. You can't leave it on the light. Because Ephesians 5 verse 18 says to the believers at Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian tonight, this isn't a one-time deal where one time you become a Christian and the Spirit of God moves in your life. This is be a constant imperative that God gives to his people. As a church tonight, we need to be constantly filled with God's Spirit. It's not a one-time deal. It's a constant, daily, present continuation in our lives. Why? Because as Christians, we leak, don't we? There's times we leak. Times where we choose to feed ourselves and to feed our own desires and to feed our flesh and to feed sin in our lives, and we don't feed the Spirit of God. And so Paul is saying to the church, and he's saying to us tonight, and he's saying to Paul and Tanya, feed the Spirit of God, do the spiritual disciplines, prayer and meditation on the Word, ministering to others, feed your spirit and don't feed the flesh. Or you'll run on the light and eventually the car will stop. Be filled with the Spirit of God. But thirdly, verse 20 and 21, spiritual power. Thirdly, spiritual power is sustained by God's infinite provision. Spiritual power is sustained by God's infinite provision. Look at Ephesians 3 verse 20 and this first word, now. Three letters. One word, now. Why does he say this? I think it's because for us as a Christian tonight, you've got to live the first five verses before God really steps in. You see, it's easy to get to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask. And we pray that verse and it's an amazing verse. But I think that Paul puts this word now because he's saying there's a responsibility in us as a Christian and us as a church and from many other churches and from Paul and Tanya to go to live these five verses. To be ignited by Christ's love. To have a praying heart. And now watch God's infinite provision. Now watch him work. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or imagine. You say, could God use me? Could God use me with my skills and talents? I don't think God could use me. Well, I'm going to read you an email that I once received, and I'm going to get killed for reading some of this email out from someone that you know and love. And someone wrote this to me and said, I should say that in June and July of 2009, before we heard of Chiwoko Hospital, I never get the pronunciation right, Chiwoko Hospital, I had begun to start coming round to the idea of doing something in Uganda. This might sound mental. I was cutting the grass, thinking, is this it? Is this how life is going to be? Monday to Friday, go to work. Saturday, wash the car. You're starting to get the picture who this is? Cut the grass, wash the car, go to the gym, Sunday go to church. I started to get annoyed and other things were bugging me. He didn't put in Tanya there. While cutting the grass, I prayed for peace. Then the idea of going to Uganda popped into my head. Spoke to Tanya about it and who was very excited, but we decided to think and pray about it for a month. And I want you to read the end of this email that I received back in March of last year. We were very scared about the idea of leaving families, friends, and a church we love. Recently, however, we felt a real peace about it. If we get a yes after next weekend's interviews, we will consider that a confirmation of God's call. Well, we stand many months later, don't we? Could God use you? He's using an engineer. He's using a girl with an art degree for his kingdom. How can he do this? Because God is able. Because God is able to do. Because God is able to do what we ask. Because God is able to do what we think. Because God is able to do what we ask or think. Because God is able to do all that we ask or think. Because God is able to do above all that we ask or think. Because God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's what this verse is saying. And he can do it with you and your church. And if you come tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, he can do an abundant transformation in your heart. Where he can take you and you can be going down one direction and he reveals to you your sin and he reveals to you your need to turn and repent and to give your life to Jesus Christ. And he can do that because he's able. And he's got dynamite power in his spiritual disposal. How is he going to do this? Verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. I was reading Hudson Taylor this week since we were approaching a missionary-minded evening tonight. And he said a couple of quotes that I want to leave with you. He said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's display and our supply. And then he said this, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. And Paul and Tanya, I pray that as you go for 2.5 years, that you would give your heart and your life to Uganda. And to you here sitting tonight, the Great Commission is for all of us. It's for those in Uganda. It's for those in Bangor, in Londonderry, in Castledurg, in England, in Antrim Baptist, in Bethany Baptist. It's for all of us. Hudson Taylor also said this. the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. As you go home tonight, let those words of Hudson Taylor fill your mind and your heart, that the Great Commission, that our commission as Christians, is not an option just to be considered, but it's a command to be obeyed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the power of your word revealed by your Spirit, which reveals the work, the love of Jesus Christ for us on the cross, who was able to go and shatter social boundaries, religious boundaries, ethnic boundaries, who can transform Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland and Uganda and Britain, can transform the world because of his transforming power, all worked at the cross. Father, even as we sing this next song, as we stand amazed once again at the foot of the cross, as a body of believers from whatever denomination who love Jesus Christ, may our voices lift strongly to the strong name of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.